Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai. We're continuing the discussion of the Rasalila. This is chapter 30. We're on text number 11. But before we begin text 11, I want to just tie up one point we started yesterday, which I realized I didn't complete. I was explaining about the depth of the gopis' renunciation. A little more volume, please. About the depth of the gopis' renunciation, that their renunciation is external and internal. Not only are they internally renounced to everything in the world and completely attached to Krishna, but also externally they give up everything. Name, shame, designations, anything. And I was comparing that and contrasting that to sadhus and saintly people like ourselves that may be externally appearing very devoted and very renounced, but internally there's a whole river, there's a whole river of desire or unfulfilled ambitions or aspirations or me things. I want this and I need that. It's within all of us. It's our karmic baggage, prarabdha karma that we're carrying and suffering or enjoying from materially. So I gave the analogy that Srila Prabhupada used of a river in South India. It's called Falgu River. And I was explaining about the Falgu River, but I didn't complete the analogy. So there's a term in Sanskrit, Falgu Vairagya, Falgu. Everyone knows Vairagya, detachment, being a sannyasi or being a brahmachari, or even anyone, grihastha, we're detached. We're following rules and regulations. Yamas and niyamas. We're restraining our senses. We're controlling our senses. Everyone, irregardless of the ashram or we're in. Because without sense control, there's no yoga. Without sense control, the mind cannot be peaceful. And when the mind is not peaceful, you can't meditate or remember Krishna. So it's essential to control the mind, which is controlled by controlling the senses, which all happens only by the blessings of Sri Guru and Krishna. So therefore, the Falgu River, why do the Vedas use the Falgu River as a point of comparison for the term Falgu Vairagya? In South India, when the rainy season is there, the Falgu River is rushing with water, thousands and thousands of liters every second of water flowing by. But then in the summer, all the water, there's no more flow of river, and no more flow of water. And then the whole riverbed is hundreds of miles long. It's all dry and sandy, sandy bank of a river. However, so it appears externally dry, sandy, barren, no life, anything. But if you take your hand and you dig your hand in the sand, and the mitti, or in the sand, and the dry riverbed in the hot, scorching days of summer, and you go down about 2 feet, you'll find there's a river, an entire river flowing underneath the ground, an underwater river. This is a perfect analogy, which Srila Prabhupada often used to describe the Falgu Vairagya, externally very appearing very austere and detached, but internally in the mind and heart, there's a river of desire flowing, which you know and I know, but no one else knows, or at least you're trying to convey that mystique about yourself. So the gopis are not Falgu Vairagyas. They are completely, absolutely detached and renounced in the most ideal and exemplary way. I just wanted to wrap up that point. Falgu, right? It's the rivers like this as the characteristics, appearing dry and barren, but inside it's wet and moist with water. So externally one appears very dry and barren and detached from the world, sannyasi, babaji, whatever, brahmachari. But then internally there's another agenda, which is far, far, far away from vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vedam avastra vegam. So that was that point. So we'll begin text 11. Apyena patya yupagata priya eva gatres tanvandrisham saki su Nivritamachutova Katanga Sangha Kucha Kunkama Ranjitaya Kunda Shaja Kulapater Ihavati Ganda. This is called the Vasant Tilak Chandas. This particular meter of chanting a shloka or singing a shloka is somewhat as we chant the verses of Brahma Samhita. Chintamani prakarasadma shukalpa vriksha laksha virteshu surabhira vipalayantam lakshmi sahasra satasam brahma sevyamanam kovindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The translation. The gopis are asking all the different plants and trees, even Mother Bhumi, have you seen Krishna? Where is Krishna? Which way is he gone? Has he touched you? Have you? He looks so happy. Oh, Mother Bhumi, Bhumi Devi, the grass on your surface, which is the hair on your body, is standing on end in sattvic vikar, bhav, bhav lakshana, symptom of bhav, ecstatic love of Krishna. This is the madness and unmad of the gopis' dristi. Unmad dristi, they're seeing in this, oh yes, 24/7 the grass is standing straight up. Has nothing to do with being in ecstasy or seeing Krishna or touching Krishna's feet. We see the effect, O Bhumi, that your grass is, your hair and your body is standing on end. And I think we know the reason. The reason is because you're always touching the feet of Krishna. And Krishna is Ananda Kanda Bhagavan. He's Anand. He's made of bliss. So if you touch the ocean of bliss, you become blissful, right? Patipadam purnamrita swadana. The ocean of bliss is Harinam, Krishna's name. So this is Krishna, Namrup Gun Lila Parishishta. So this is the experience. We are also touching Anandam Buddhivardhanam. Anyone's heard this? Anandam Buddhivardhanam Pratipadam purnamrita swadanam. Anandambudi. Ambudi means ocean of bliss. Anandambudi vardhanam. And this ocean of bliss is expanding and increasing more and more. You chanted Hare Krishna 10 years ago when you joined your spiritual mission and guru. And it was some bliss. You were chanting Hare Krishna in the temple on Sunday and enjoying bliss in Sankirtan. Now 20 years later, so many experiences you're having from chanting Hare Krishna. It's not only a name which is tasty, and not only a name which is enervating and exciting and fills you with bliss and satisfaction, even if you're just approaching the name from a distant universe. And in that distant universe, no one knows anything about Yama or Niyama. There's no rules or regulations. The only regulation is be at the Hare Krishna temple on Sunday to take Mahaprasad and chant and dance. That's your regulation. I just one rule I follow. That's great. You'll get liberated someday, some life. Keep on going. So this is the Anandambuddhi. I said Krishna is an ocean of bliss. Krishna's name is an ocean of bliss. And Leela. So the gopis are saying, you're touching. Krishna's feet are always touching you, Mother Bhumi. So you must, that's why you're so blissful. So now, somehow in the middle of the night, at 12 o'clock in the night, one deer wandered on the scene. Because there were no, let's say, beasts or anyone to see. All they saw was trees. Oh, Ashwat, oh, Plaksha, Nilgrota, the Banyan, Plaksha, whatever it is, these different trees. Have you seen Krishna? And O Tulsi, O Kalyani, Tulsi, have you seen Krishna? And O Malati, Malika, Malika, Yutika, Juti, have you seen Krishna? O Mother Bhumi, have you seen Krishna? Oh, look, there's a deer, a mriga. Let's ask her. Because she's so gentle and she's so sweet and so kind and innocent. Surely she will speak to us. So they say, oh, friend, they see the deer and they say, oh, friend, oh, Sakhi, has Achyuta, our Krishna, has Achyuta been here with his beloved, bringing great joy to your eyes? indeed, blowing this way and we're smelling it is the fragrance of Krishna's Kunda flower garland, which was smeared from the kunkum, from the breasts of his girlfriend when he embraced her. So there's one thing is the smell of the kunda flower, which blossoms, I guess, now, but usually it's here now, time Vrindavan, it's a little later. It's kind of a winter flower. but there may be some other variety of kunda that's blossoming now in Sharad season. And that has a particular smell. However, when the kunda mala is mixed with the kunkum, the red powder adorning the golden globes of the upper surface of Radharani's, it says here, Kucha Kunkama Ranjita, Kunja Kunkama Ranjita, her upper surface, the orb of her breast is sprinkled with red kunkum powder, which is a natural powder that grows on a tree inside the seed pod. You open the seed and you find this red powder. Very rare, and I don't know if you can really even get it these days, buy it. It's quite rare. So this is a very stimulating, very fragrant substance. So that is mixed with Radharani's Prem Ganda. Radharani's name is Gandharvika. What is the meaning of Gandharvika? Oh, Radharani is Gandharvika. She dances like a Gandharva. She sings like a Gandharvi, a great celestial singer. That's true. All ragas, all dance, everything emanates and originates with Radharani and nowhere else. So she's aptly called Gandharva or Gandharvika. Gandharvika Giridhari. People have the Thakurji. So, but Gandharvika means one who gives fragrance to the earth. Krishna says, Prithvi aham gandhasmi. He says, Krishna says in Gita, I am the fragrance of the earth. The Ganda. Ganda means the fragrance, Sugandhi, Saurabh. But how does Mother Bhumi get that fragrance? Because she's only a minor expansion of one of the unlimited Shaktis of Radharani. Radharani is Sarva Shakti Mayi, Radha. So all Shakti is with Radharani. So when it says in Govinda Lilamrita, when the Mandris and Sakis are dressing Radharani, anytime, in Radhakund, the Madhyan Leela, and they're removing her ruffled, Radharani's ruffled red petticoat called slip, you know, it's on the edges, it's ruffled. It's very nice. And then when that petticoat drops on the ground, the natural fragrance of Radharani's body, which is like camphor and lotus and kasturi and sandalwood, all these beautiful fragrances, the natural fragrance of Radharani's body touches the earth, and that is where the earth is getting its fragrance. The Shakti, fragrance is a Shakti. It's an energy, it's a potency. So the origin is Radharani. So this Gandharvika Radharani, this kunkum, says Kunda Shraja, says Kucha Kunkama Ranjita, that her Kucha means the stan, the breast, is colored with this kunkum powder. It's red, it's fragrant, it's natural, and it has its own fragrance, which is now mixed with the beautiful fragrances of Radharani. So this is why Radharani is called Gandharva, because the fragrance of her kunkum is now adorning Krishna's chest after he embraced her and has come on his chest. So not only is the kunkum red in color and very naturally fragrant, but now it's full of the anurag of Radharani. Sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. So all the intense attachment and the intense surrender, intense love that Srimati Radharani has for Shyam is now mixed there. Now it came from her heart. It was adorning Radharani's heart. And now Krishna embraced her and it has been transferred to Krishna's chest, which means his heart. So now Radharani's anurag has entered Krishna. And now this anurag is going to accelerate the bliss and happiness and satisfaction of the yugal, both Radha and Krishna. So this is what's being told here in this verse. So, O friend of the deer, has Lord Achyuta been here with his beloved, bringing great joy to your eyes? Indeed, blowing this way is the fragrance of his garland, which was smeared with the kunkum from the breast of his girlfriend when he's embracing her. Sri Jiva Goswami Pad, he gives a commentary, we can see. Although now it's unclear, still it's unclear, with whom did Krishna disappear? Because Yoga Maya has covered the awareness and perception of all the thousands of gopis that are moving together in the forest searching for Krishna. So everyone thinks, oh, Radha's here, everyone's here. Well, that's the effect of Yoga Maya. Actually, Radharani is with Krishna and left everyone behind. So it's not clear, Jiva Goswami says, but it will be revealed. Shukadev's intention is, he's saying, Shukamuni's intention is as follows. This is Jiva Goswami. Now, Jiva Goswami, like our Acharya's Vishwanath, he is going to enter into the mind of Shukamuni. That's quite a yoga city. Enter into the mind, smaller than the smallest, Anima city. Enter into the mind of Shukamuni and tell, this is what he's thinking, this is what his intention is, this is why he's presenting verses like this, and this is actually how Shukamuni feels about this whole Leela. This is how Shukamuni feels about the gopis and Radharani. Do you know? Do you know what she thinks of you? No, I don't want to know. No, thank you. It's better I stay in ignorance. What does it say? It's where ignorance is bliss. Where ignorance is bliss, tis folly to be wise. This is a Shakespeare statement. In other words, if someone is relishing the wallowing in the joy of their foolishness and ignorance, don't rock the boat. Don't rattle their brains. Don't disturb them. Oh, you're doing very nicely. You're in Maya and you're going to hell, but it's very nice. Have a good time. But sometimes the compassionate Karunamayi preachers, they want to interfere with the karma of others and say, hey, wait, I want to tell you something. But then unless Krishna favors the ears of that person and favors the heart of that person, they will not hear, nor will they respond, nor change, because it's all in the hand of Krishna. Man proposes, God disposes. So the preacher proposes, or he presents the possibility and the opportunity for a higher life, divine life, blissful life. But will the conditioned soul accept it or not? How could we accept it? How did we receive it? It is only by divine grace. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Yasya prasada nagati katopi. If Krishna wills, we receive bhakti. If Krishna wills, we make advancement in bhakti. If Krishna wills, he puts his prema in our heart. If Krishna wills, we will see Krishna. And if Krishna wills, we will go to Krishna. It is Krishna's energy. Bhakti is energy of Krishna, Radharani. No energy, no power, no movement. We have big train, so many cars, but the engine has no power, no fuel, no connection to electricity, nothing moving. So the electricity, the fuel that's moving us is Radharani, Ladini Shakti, joy, happiness, satisfaction, bliss, and awareness, knowledge, more and more awareness of the self, and the different layers of the self, and more knowledge of Krishna, which endears Krishna to us and attaches us to Krishna. Jiva Goswami says, now, this is so beautiful, the Acharyas, he's going to reveal the mind and heart of Shukamuni. And hundreds of great devotees comment on the Srimad Bhagavatam. But this comment you won't find, only here, by our Gaudiya Vaishnavacharya, Sri Jiva Goswami Pad. So listen, it's beautiful. Are you ready? So Jiva Goswami says that Shukamuni says, this is Shukamuni telling you, listen everyone, among all the varieties of Krishna's avatars, I, Shukamuni, have a special attraction for whom? Did you hear what I said? Among all the Shukamuni's speaking, among all the various avatars or descents of the Lord, I have a special attraction for one. Krishna. Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna Ki Jai. What else can he say? Among all the devotees of Krishna, I have attraction for all the devotees of Krishna. I have attraction for the Brijbasi devotees. This is Sukamuni. 5,000 years ago, he's writing the Bhagavatam. At the end of, you know, juncture, very beginning of Kali Yuga. There's no Krishna Leela, no Prakat Leela here then. Krishna was gone. Krishna Sada Mo Pagate Dharma Ganadi Visaha. It's in the first canto. Krishna Sada Mo Upagate. Upagate means he's gone. Gamana means to go. Upagate, he's gone. He's gone up. Or wherever, in Krishna's Swadham. He's gone to it. Krishna's left his Brajadham, and it's uppercut, it's invisible, and he's gone to his own Dham. Krishna Swadham, O Pagate, because it's Sutta Goswami, and they were asking the rishis at the Namishranya, Krishna's gone? He's left us? There's no more Dharma Jwaji, there's no more Krishna to teach or instruct. Or to yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya sri jasimana nyama. Who's going to protect the devotees? Who's going to uphold dharma? Krishna's gone. So what is the answer is given? Krishna sudamo puran arka danoditaha. Puran arka danoditaha. That this Bhagavad Puran is risen in this dark age of Kali to illuminate the entire world and hearts and minds of everyone in the world with the Bhagavat, the light of the Bhagavat, the light of the Bhagavat. Krishna's here. Inside the Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna's Sarup. And Krishna's never separated from Radharani. So Radha Krishna Yugal Sarup was within the Bhagavatam. It is Radha and Krishna. Every day reading Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Bhagavat Yutamash Loke, Bhakti Bhavati Naishtaki. Every day reading Bhagavatam, one fine day while you're reading the Bhagavatam, you'll start to see Radha and Krishna in the verses. And then keep reading, and then they'll come out of the verses and say, here we are. Then you'll say, yes, the Bhagavatam is the form of Krishna. The Bhagavatam is the form of Radharani. This is called Anubhav, experience, realization. This is the statements of the Rasikjan, our Mahajans and the great devotees and acharyas. So that's why Vyasadeva is saying, there's a treasure here. There's an unlimited treasure. Why are you not taking this treasure? You're so busy with so many other things. This is the Mahanidhi. This is the great treasure. A great ocean of valuable gems, the Bhagavatam. You'll find Krishna. You'll find Radharani. You'll find pure bhakti. You'll find pure love. What is pure love? Pure love is the love of the gopis of Krishna. And you won't find it, but here. You'll see it expressed, and you'll try to enter into the hearts of the lovers of Krishna, the gopis. And you'll try to identify with them and move with them and pray to them and serve them in your meditation. And then if you want to see what happens, if you want to see what happens when someone is gopi anugata, or worshipping Radha and Krishna in the loving mood of a gopi of Vrindavan, gopi bhav, you want to see what happens when you follow that path and you advance more and more, then you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Nantya Leela, then you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reciting the same verse, he's speaking the same verses from the five chapters of the Rasa Leela, and more verses in his own language, with even quoting the Sanskrit and Bengali, and he's experiencing. And what ecstasy and what bliss he's experiencing by following the gopis, by adopting Gopi Bhav and searching for Krishna, like the gopis are searching for Krishna. It's all there. And we'll be reading that in a few verses. When this discussion concludes, the searching discussion, then we'll have a beautiful summary of Lord Chaitanya showing it as a sadhaka. And it's two things. He's showing as relishing as Radha Bhav, as Krishna, but he's also showing the path of sadhana. I was reflecting this just now, taking prasadam. I was thinking, in the very beginning of Mahaprabhu's life, he actually taught the essence. He taught the prayojan, the sadhya. The sadhya means the goal of bhakti. In the very beginning, it came out as three words. Because when something is important, you say it three times. Listen, my son, I'm about to die. But listen, take care of my wife and take care of the house and everything. And take care of my wife and take your mother. He may repeat three times. You ever heard of this one? This is very important. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Anasteva, 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 Gattiranyata. Sound familiar? Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. This is a Kali Yuga, Yuga Dharma, Namra Pachara, Tati Lagi, Pitavarna, Chaitanya Avatara. And the Kali Yuga, this Nam. So, Lord Chaitanya was a young man. He was a teacher, Sanskrit teacher, is teaching Vyakaran. In Navadvip, he had a Tol, T-O-L. Tol means school. And he had a group of Brahmin students were there in the school. So one day, it came out from his mouth where he actually revealed in the Navadvip Leela, when he was a teenager, he revealed the very purpose of his coming and the very gift that he wanted to give to everyone. And as his own internal ecstasies and interest and attraction to Braja Bhav and everything was started rising in his heart, one day he looked at the students and said, "My dear students, I will not teach Sanskrit anymore." And he got up and he ran out of the school and he chanted three words, "Gopi, Gopi, Gopi." This hit me like a thunderbolt about 20 minutes ago. I said, this is it. From that point to the time he left this world, Mahaprabhu was only absorbed in Gopi Bhav. Which Gopi? Radha Bhav. Radha's Mahabhav. This is why Krishna came as Mahaprabhu. There's an internal reason, external reason. So for the family members, for the Gaudiyas, it's submit and surrender to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. It's the internal meaning is the important. I mean, both important, but the essence of Bhakti Bhajan is the internal meaning, which receive Gopi Bhav Angikara, accept Gopi Bhav, follow the path of Gopi Bhav, Raghunaga Bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Siddhadeya Chinta, Ratri Dina, Siddhadeya, in your Siddhadeya, in your spiritual body, day and night, Radha Krishna, Nitya Krita, meditate on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. That's the internal purpose, which is revealed right there in Navadvip. Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. And then, as Chaitanya Charitamrita is telling, the external purpose is to give people a chance, to give the people of Kali Yuga some chance, some hope, save them from hell, save them from birth, lower species of birth, chant Hare Krishna. So the external purpose is Kali Yuga, Yuga Dharma, Namara Pachara, Tati Lati, Pita Varna, Chaitanya Avatar. Krishna's come in a Pita Varna, yellow color, in a Kali Yuga to broadcast the Harinam. Everyone take it, derelicts, bums, freaks, acid heads, anybody, any culture. You see in Zambia and Australia and Fiji, ho, 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 all kinds of aboriginals, everyone's jumping up and down everywhere in Africa and Amazon. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It may take some time before they adopt the path of Gopi Bhav. But they're on the way. Therefore, everything is necessary. But if someone is more evolved, as Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Vrashchavijayate, Gita, chapter 6, 41. You're more evolved, and you have your culture, and you have idea. I studied, I can read, I can study, I made Vivek, I discriminated Vivek. This is the goal of life. And this is the goal of life presented by Mahaprabhu. And this is the goal of life I'm interested in according to the presentation of Mahaprabhu. So there's different types of Vaishnavas presenting different goals and different practices. So this is what he's saying. Jiva Goswami's commentary is all what I'm saying. Then he says, among all the devotees I like the most, the Brijvasis, And I have more attraction among all the Vrijavasis, Shukamuni is saying, I have more attraction for the gopis. Says Jiva Goswami. And then among all the gopis, I have the most attraction for Srimati Radhika. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Shukamuni. Jiva Goswami is our Mahajan. And the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita says that he said, Krishna's coverage is saying, for all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Shiksha Gurus for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas are H.I. Gosai Kori Charanand Vandan Yahoite Bignanash Abhishtapuran Vande Rupas Natano Rugu Yago Sri Jiva Gopal Go. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan. What they say, what they write, this takes preeminence over my guru and your guru and that guru and this guru and that guru and this guru. This is the Supreme Court, the final word, Sad Goswamis. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quoting the six Goswamis in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes he quotes Rupa Goswami because later, because he, it's, at that time, when he's quoting Rupa Goswami, you can see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, those teachings have not yet been revealed in the books written by Rupa Goswami. However, when Mahaprabhu gave instruction, Rupa Shiksha and Sanatan Shiksha and Madhya Lila chapter 21, 2, 3, 4, like this, he's instructing them. So he gave the sutras, he gave the essence, he gave the direction to them to write all about bhakti and write all about all the tattvas and Brihad Bhagavatamritam and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Ujjwala Nilamani. And so all these truths that will later manifest from the pen of Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, sometimes Lord Chaitanya would speak them. Then in a commentary purported said, this is a verse from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. The verse came from the mouth of Lord Chaitanya. And it's in the heart of Rupa Goswami, and it will come out later, 30 years later, when he writes it, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So this is the beauty of the teachings of Mahaprabhu. Like a seed, a guru or Krishna, you've got the seed of bhakti in the heart, but will it become a sprout? Will it become a stem? Will it become a flower? Will it become a fruit? Many factors are necessary. So the seed is there. The seed may go from life. You may carry the seed for lifetime. Purva says in Gita 6, chapter 44, one will continue in his yoga sadhana from where he or she has left off in a last life if they have practiced bhakti sadhana or some type of yoga. Purva abhyasena. Abhyasena means practice. Sadhana, and Purva means prior life. This is the teachings of Bhagavan Sri Krishna in the sixth chapter of Gita. Therefore, in the 1970s, Prabhupada was sitting with many devotees in Los Angeles, and he said, don't think that this is the first time that you're practicing bhakti. Many lifetimes. So what happened to Chanaray Krishna go back to Godhead? Same person who's saying that to encourage us is also telling us in his room that you practiced last life. Because you practiced last life, now you're taken up again in this life. It's due to sanskaras, mental impressions in the chitta. What we do, what we think deeply and what we desire and act deeply, it creates deep grooves or etchings, carvings in the copper plate of our chitta, which will manifest next life or next life after that. So this is the thoughts of, he says, I have the most attraction. Shukamuni is saying, I have the most attraction for Srimati Radhika. And my extra attraction is due, why am I so attracted to Radharani? It's due to the greater excellence of Srimati Radharani. But Shukamuni, this is all the thinking and feeling of Shukamuni as revealed by Sri Jiva Goswami Pad. But I, Shukamuni, I am I'm a little hesitant, a little reluctant a little shy to reveal Radha directly in my writings. But I also wish to reveal my heart. Otherwise, I'll be guilty of being miserly and distributing knowledge. I'm speaking the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit 7 days in the bank of the Ganga. And I know these things. I cherish Radharani in my heart. But I don't want to mention her name directly because I'll become avastachitta. Avastachitta. Avastachitta means that I lose my consciousness. I will become unconscious. And I don't know how many days I will be dazed and trance. And my dear friend, Maharaj Parikshit, only has 7 days. And if I go out for three, bad luck. he'll wake me up and say, "You only got to the eighth canto. Wake up. I want to hear about Krishna's intimate pastimes, not the Vamanadeva and Vrahadeva and Sringadeva. Okay, great, wonderful. But what about Rasleela and then the coward boys? And there's only one day left." So this is his dilemma. But I hesitate to reveal Radha directly. So what I will do, I will reveal Radharani's glories through the words of her sakis, but it will not be apparent by using disguised words. That means paroksha vad. By disguising my words, I will even reveal the truth of Radharani through the speech of her rivals. Now that's good. Shukamuni, because some of these verses our acharyas, Shukamuni is not saying, but our acharyas say these verses are spoken by Radharani's Baksha Gopis, her favorable party, Lita Vishaka, Chitra, Champak, Indulekha, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Tungavidya. Or they may be spoken by the anti-party, Vipaksha, Chandravali, or Padma Shaibya, the other rivals of Radha. So that he's saying, I will even make the rivals glorify my Radharani. If I reveal Radha accident, please forgive me, Shukamuni says. However, if I reveal Radharani accidentally because of my absorption, then I will not speak her name directly, nor will I utter the names of the other gopis. Shukamuni ki jai. So this is Jiva Goswami revealing the heart and intentions, and why some people say why Radharani is not mentioned directly in the Bhagavatam. So this is the reason, is Radharani is his cherished abhishta, who he guards like a rare treasure. And Jiva Goswami says, therefore, first Shukamuni reveals Radha through her friend speaking. That's in verse 11. The friend is saying, what is the friend saying in verse 11? Speaking to the deer, oh, Saki, oh, my... One of Radharani's Sakis, or dear girlfriends, like Alita, Vishaka, Chitra, sees the deer and says, oh, Saki. Deer is not Saki. It's a beast. It's a beast. It's an animal. It's a pashu. Pashu is a mriga. So, oh, my friend, sounds like St. Francis, a great medieval Christian saint. He saw everyone as his brother. Oh, brother tree. It's very nice. I like it. He had universal love. It's also very nice. He was a bhakta, Jesus bhakta, something like this. So he said, oh, brother tree, oh, brother crow, oh, brother bird, oh, brother river, or I don't know, maybe he had different for rivers or female, ocean is male. So maybe he said, oh, sister river, I don't know. But generally he's presented brother. Oh, brother tree, which is male. And oh, brother, listen to that. So in other words, he didn't feel, I don't have any enemies like Yudhisthira, ajata shatru. Shatru means enemy, ajata means unborn. So you, in the first canto of Bhagavatam, Yudhisthira is glorified. There's no enemies. So the gopis are feeling like that. We don't have any enemies. Oh, dear. Oh, Sakhi. Sakhi means my girlfriend. Imagine going, you go to a dog and say, oh, my boyfriend, oh, my friend. That's very nice, actually. Especially in Braj, because they may be babas or brahmacharis or who knows what from last life. Generally, it's told in Braj that if some yogi or sannyasi, baba, whatever, he falls, he doesn't make it, he may come back as a dog. And then that dog will come and stay near ashram. He'll stay near an ashram of devotees. Just like in the next life of, Maharaj Bharat. In the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, Maharaj Bharat, as you know, he became attached to, he was living in the Himalayas somewhere, in the mountains, I assume Himalayas. And he became attached to a deer. He died, he became a deer. But he wasn't a deer born in a zoo in Delhi. There's a zoo in Delhi. There's a whole place in Delhi called Deer Park. D-E-E-R Park. And it's in a very ritzy part of Delhi. And it's full of deer, hundreds of them, and they're born there. So when Maharaj Bharat became a deer, was he born in the Delhi Zoo? So that didn't happen to Maharaj Bharat. He was born in the Himalayas, right in the forest next to an ashram of sadhus. Because it's a blessing of Krishna, because he was a highly advanced devotee. He took a deer's body, but he grew up with sadhus. They were feeding him Krishna's Mahaprasad milk and nice laddus and burfi and nice things and all kinds of Mahaprasad. And then he was always outside because the deer, they like music very much. They like flute. So in the ashram of that sadhus and babas, there were some babas that played flute and a kirtan. So the deer would be moving on around the ashram. Oh, it's so nice, so nice. And listening to the holy name like this. So then the deer died and then he got his reward. Yeah, he he became a Brahmin and he was totally aloof from the world. Judd Bharat, you know Judd Bharat? He was a king because he had generally the mukti, there was Varna mukti, Ashram mukti, Grahan mukti means going from one planet to another, which is very rare. It's called Swarga Mukti. Swarga, going to Swa. Bhu, Bhuvar Swa. Ga means going. Swarga, going way up. Very rare. So generally people elevate. So he was a king, a good king, a very religious king. So next life he was Brahmin. He's higher than a Kshatriya is Brahmin. Someone just like King Muchukunda and Mathura Leela in the Bhagavat. Mathura Leela of Krishna and Dasma Skanda, King Muchukunda. He's a king. Did so much seva for the devatas, fighting the Rakshas and all the anti-party and Asur. And then he asked for a benediction, let me sleep. Let me sleep for a few thousand celestial years. And so he came to Mathura because he was a bhakta of Krishna. And he stayed in a cave. Then Kalyavana, one demon came. He ran in a cave chasing Krishna. He kicked Muchukunda, whom he thought was Krishna pretending to sleep. Muchukunda woke up, burned him to ashes. Krishna appeared from behind the rocks and blessed Muchukunda. Muchukunda said, oh, I want to come with you. And Krishna said, no, you still have some Prarabdha. He had Sakshat Darshan of Krishna. He's in Krishna's Leela. And you, Hare Krishna, go back to Godhead? So easy? He's in Krishna's Leela 5,000 years ago. He has direct darshan of Krishna. He's an exalted devata worshipping Krishna for thousands of years. He's sleeping, resting in Mathura. And Krishna, he said, Krishna, I want to go with you. I want to just go back to Dwarka, go to Dwarka with you and spend the rest of my life worshipping you and seeing you and associating with you. And Krishna says, no, that's not possible. You still have some Prabda. So you wander around India and do bhajan. And when you die, next life you'll be born a Brahmin. So next life he was born a Brahmin, then he got liberated. So there's a different points that go on like this. It's a very long journey to perfection. keep up the hope. Utsaha nishchayat daryat. Rupa Goswami is telling us, hey, come on. Utsaha nishcha daryat. Be enthusiastic and be steady, confident. I will make it. I will make it. You should think, I'm going to get to, every teacher, every Babaji, every guru teaches, only think, and every sannyasi, whoever your guru is, he says, only think, I will make it in this lifetime. I will see Radha and Krishna's lifetime. I will attain Krishna prema right now. That is the thought. That is the only sankalpa one should have, the mental affirmation or vow. And what Krishna does, that's with him. We'll endeavor, we try our best, and the rest is with him. My endeavor is only, is 2 fingers too short. No matter how much I endeavor, how much sadhana, how many japa rounds, how many, everything I do, it will always come out 2 fingers too short to bind Damodar. And the 2 fingers is the hoituki kripa, the mercy of Krishna. That we can't buy, that we can't control, that we can't determine. So therefore, a devotee is always, all the time, humble. I'm not this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. I made these devotees, I'm preaching, I'm this. Oh, nothing. Das, 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 anodas. Then Krishna may say, oh, this is, you have this attitude you have, this humility you have. This will attract the heart of Radharani. Because Radharani is the most humble devotee in the universe. And she has the most love for Krishna. Because humility is the foundation of prema in the transcendental realm. Radharani is the epitome and embodiment of humility and the epitome and embodiment of prema. Prema Mayi Radharani, Mahabhavati Radharani, Bhagavati Radha, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So Shukamuni is going to reveal Radharani's glories even through the mouth of her rivals, Jiva Goswami says. When Sri Krishna disappeared, taking Radharani with him, Radharani's friends had some doubt. Though they went with all the other sakis, and they were all absorbed in searching for only Krishna, and though they were in a state of madness and unmad, still the gopis remained in their own group. So thousands of gopis were moving together, but there was some invisible demarcation. There was some invisible demarcation, line of separation. They're all moving together, but all Radharani sakis were on this side of the line, and all Chandravali Sakis are on that side of the line. That's called demarcation. But they're all moving en masse. So if you look from the drone viewpoint, it used to be called aerial view. Now it's called drone view. If you look from the drone view, you'll see, oh, it's one mass of mad women, thousands of unmadani gopis, totally mad in Mahabhav, rushing through the forest. Krishna kaha, sham kaha, kaha, kaha. Where is Krishna? But he says they stayed in their own group. Searching for the divine couple. The sequence of verses indicate that, he says the sequence of verses indicate acceptance that Radha was with Krishna. At least this is what her own sakis felt. Now he makes a very nice point. He's speaking about Leela here and the very intimate, sweet moods of Shukamuni, which are heretofore never revealed. And then he goes, he steps back and talks a little bit about tattva, philosophical tattva. So then he says, he makes a point, a principle of philosophy. He says, glorifying, mahima, praise for the seer, that means the drista, and for the praise for the eye, which is the object of vision, and praise for the object that the eye sees. This indicates a friend's joy with the fortune of another friend. This is what he says. No, so he breaks it down like this. Praise for the seer, praise for the eye, and praise for the object that the eye is looking at. So who is the seer in this verse? First of all, to remind you, the verse says, the gopis have met one mriga, one deer. Oh, sucky deer. Oh, my dear deer. Oh, my dear deer. Oh, wife of the deer, because it's Mrs. Deer or whatever. Has Lord Achyuta been here with his beloved, bringing great joy to your eyes? Indeed, not only do you smell the fragrance of the kunkum, which was on Radharani's garland, which was transferred to Krishna's chest when he embraced her. This is all happening right here. So Jiva Goswami Pad says that the gopis are praising, first they're praising the seer. Who is the seer? The deer, the wife of the deer. And then they're praising the object seen. Who did the deer see? The object they saw was Radha and Krishna together. That's the assumption. That's whether, have you seen Radha and Krishna? The gopis asked the deer. And then there's praise for the eyes. And praise for the eyes is in the verse. It says, Drisham Sunirvritim. Sunirvritim. Drisham Sunirvritim. Which means, when you, oh, dear. Oh, Sakhi, oh, our dear friend, the wife of the deer. Your eyes are so blissful. Drisham sunirvritam. Your eyes are so full of bliss because you must have seen Radha and Krishna. So they're glorifying. They see the bliss in the eyes of the deer. That's their madness. If you ever see the eyes of a deer, they look very peaceful. They're very moist. The eyes of the deer are moist. They're gentle. They look like they're always like sleeping. Even with their eyes open, they look so peaceful. You know, feeding them in Deer Park. I used to go there. And then they're very nice. So they look like they have they're relishing an inner bliss. That's Atma Ramata. I don't know, but that's just the way they are as animals. But the gopis are saying, oh, your eyes are full of joy and full of bliss. Drisham su nirvritam. Nirvritam. Nirvritti is also in yoga. When one merges in Brahman, he experiences, like we see, Nirvan is Nirvritti. So Nirvritti means very great joy and happiness. Bliss. Transcendental into bliss. You take up this yoga system and you every day meditate for 1 hour, you'll experience transcendental bliss. I've heard in the 1970s, I was looking for a guru in Los Angeles, and I met many great saints, and because English is not their main language, so they had such a cute and nice English accent, whatever. I was really attractive, everyone liked. Bliss, B-L-E-E-E-E-E-S, bliss. Even now, this is 1973, and I was meeting these, and there's some, one of them is still alive. And or two of them, he and me, the seer and the object seen. He's a seer, and I was seeing him. Whatever, he's still alive, and I'm still alive, I guess. So so finally, our eyes landed on Krishna. Well, that was good. Krishna's holy name. That's really bliss. Anandam Bhurivardhanam. Govinda Sri Radha. So that's Jiva Goswami Pad. The commentary by Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So when after the gopis, this verse 10, Vishnu Chakravarti says, after the gopis inquired from Mother Earth, and they didn't get any answer, they did not receive any answer from Bhumi Devi, then the gopis were saying, ah, alas, alas, how will Bhumi Devi, who is relishing the pleasure of having her body marked by her consort's footprints, Krishna's footprints, and because of that she's blinded by the intoxication of pride, how will she reply to us? So then the gopis move forward. They keep moving. Suddenly they see a doe and they speak to her. Oh, Sakhi, oh, friend of the deer. I mean, excuse me, wife of the deer. Has Krishna come nearby? Though you are the wife of a buck, male deer, you are very dear to Krishna, and Krishna is dear to you. We can see from the bliss in your clear eyes. We can tell your eyes are so full of bliss. We can understand that Krishna has filled your heart with joy. Nivritam, Anandam. How has he done that? By showing you the beauty of his face, hands, limbs, and smile. Having attained such bliss for your eyes, because that's Vishnu's commenting on this line here. It says, Drisham su nidritam achuto. You have seen Achuta. Oh dear, you have seen Achuta Sri Krishna. Now such great bliss has entered your heart, and it's being seen and visible, is registering on your eyes. Your eyes look so joyful and so happy because the bliss of Krishna has entered your heart. You must have seen him. Otherwise, how are you so peaceful, joyful, happy? We can see on your face. Prabhupada said the face is the index of the mind. The clear mind, the pure mind, the joyful mind, the happy mind. It's written on the face. Like the news of the town is written in the newspaper. So the news of your heart, the news of your newfound attainment, the news of your experience and bhakti bhajan is written on your face. So he says, from the bliss in your clear eyes, we can see that Krishna's expanded. You've seen him. And you've attained such bliss for your eyes. You follow Krishna everywhere. And therefore, Krishna never falls or leaves Achyuta, your vision. So when they're saying to the deer, they're saying, oh, you must have seen Achyuta. Achyuta means infallible. He doesn't fall. He doesn't leave. So the deer always following Krishna wherever he goes in the forest. So they're always seeing him. He never leaves their vision. So he's Achyuta. Then this word drisham, like dristi, drisham means sight. The name Achyuta means because of your, of you, dear, because of your greed to gain ecstasy for your eyes, you are following Krishna. And for that reason, he has never lost to you. The gopis are projecting their own greed, their own utsaha, their own lobha. They want to see Krishna. They're looking for, searching for Krishna because they want to see him and meet him and be with him. So they're perceiving their madness of the gopi, the deer. Oh, you're a sucky. You're a lucky sucky. You're a girlfriend. You're always running after Krishna and you're seeing him. And we can see the results that you must have seen him because your face and eyes are so joyful. Seeing the doe, because the doe keeps walking in her own natural way, ambling and rambling here and there through the forest in the middle of the night. The gopis exclaim, oh, dear, are you telling us that you have seen Krishna? Look, as a deer walks, she constantly turns her head back to us. It seems that she's saying, come on, Sakis, follow me. You just follow me. I will take you through the forest. I will show Krishna to you. Just follow me. And the gopis get some relief and they say, ah, in this merciless Vrindavan, only this deer is merciful. So if a deer are, they're shy. So if you're in the forest and you come across some deer, then they will start walking away from you. And as they walk away from you, they will turn around to see if you're following them. And then they'll start running because they don't know what your motive is or what your idea is. So that's the natural behavior of the deer. So the gopis, oh, the deer is turning around. The deer is not turning around to speak to them and say, come on, follow us. The deer is turning around out of fear. Is this an enemy? Or who? They keep following me. They're walking. And pretty soon the deer will just bolt and disappear. And the gopis, no way the gopis can catch a deer. They're like lightning. So this is their madness. So after imagining this talk with the deer, the gopis, they praise her. So as the gopis follow the deer, they lose sight of her, because that's what I said. The deer spooked. The deer got afraid. became, I said, wait, there's guys keep tailing me, they keep following me. Then high gear, and the deer was gone, leaping and bounding through the forest. Like, oh, deer are amazing. You ever seen in a film the way deer run? I grew up in the country, I've seen them live. And they jump, they go like, I don't know, 15 meters in one jump. Like that. It's like amazing. You've seen. And all those kind of variety, antelope and the African plain running away from the lions and hot pursuit. Jivo jivasya jivanam. This is in the Bhagavatam. Apadani chaduspadam. Ahastani sahastanam. Apadani chaduspadam. Falguni tatra mahatam. Then jivo jivasya jivanam. I always like that verse. I memorized that verse in 1975. Because I felt like the world I lived in was like that. One living entity exists by eating another living entity. Jivo jivasya jivanam. Because it's, you ever hear this expression? In America, they have an expression, dog eat dog. It's a rat race, and everyone's competing to eat the other one, psychologically eat one, another person, or physically, or emotionally, or any which way. So that verse is nice. It's in second canto of Bhagavatam. Those with sahastani, those that have no hands, are food for those with hands. Those that have no legs are food for the four-legged. So the four-legged are the deer and we're speaking about, and the cows, and the ones that have no legs are the grass. The grass and plants. So every living entity, Falguni Tatra Mahatam. The weak, the strong subsist on the weak. Falgun means weak, and Mahatam means strong. And this world, it's a world of jivo jivasya jivanam. One jiva lives by eating another jiva. So we eat the vegetables. We're vegans. We only eat the vegetables, the veggies, the sprouties, little sprouties, alfalfa sprouts, mung bean. Very healthy, very good. But we're killing those living entities. We buy the bean and its sprouts because the jiva's there. And we say, okay, jiva. We crunch up millions of them like Kurukshetra. And Krishna in the Vrata Roop, he was throwing in alfalfa sprouts. Thousands of Kaurava soldiers were going gnashing and crashing and crushed between his teeth. And Arjuna saw that horrible, ghastly scene. Oh my God. And Krishna said, that's right, that's me. And I've already eaten all these soldiers, just pull your Gandiva and go out there. Boing. So this is the way it is. This world's like that. One living entity is eating another one. The big fish is eating the little fish, no? the big one is eating the little one. So the gopis are mad. And they're thinking, the only merciful person is this deer. And now the deer has even run away. So now they think, oh, they cry out. We were following the deer. We can't see her. Oh, why can't we see the deer? Was showing us the way to Krishna. Krishna must be somewhere nearby. And because of that, the deer, being afraid of revealing Krishna's hiding place, ran away. Krishna must be somewhere nearby. But to avoid the possible mistake of revealing Krishna's presence, the deer ran far away. Reasoning in this way, out of madness, the gopis suddenly detect a fragrance that is by chance blown their way. So what's happening here is that Vishnu Chakravarti is, because there's two scenes in this one verse. One scene is enter the deer. The gopis meet the deer and they see the deer's eyes are so blissful. So they make a comment, Risham Su Nivritam. Oh, you're so blissful, your eyes are full of joy and happiness. You must have seen Krishna. So that's one part, that's the first two lines of the verse. The next two lines is a whole other scene. The deer is off stage. The curtain is drawn, and then the deer is gone, disappeared. Now the curtain opens up, and it's a gopi smelling a fragrance. So there's two scenes, two mini-leelas in one verse. And 10th canto, Bhagavatam, chapter 30, verse 11, and Jiva Goswami expands our perception and understanding of the Bhagavatam by presenting that this is a possibility that may happen and does happen in many verses. These are unrelated. There's no relationship between the second part of the verse, the smell of kunkum, and the deer. You follow? Although they're all, both things are together, both actions are together in one verse. So it's like two scenes, two different players. And one part of the verse is gopis and the deer. Deer is gone. Now the second part of the same verse is gopis and kunkum. So the deer they were seeing, the kunkum they're smelling. So one way or another, each of their senses is perceiving Krishna. Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti manti pashyanti panti kalyanti charam jaganti. Krishna can see with his ears and hear with his nose and everything. This interchangeable senses, absolute. So the gopis are perceiving Krishna in the eye, with their eyes, with the gopi's eyes, gopi lochan, they're perceiving Krishna in the eyes of the deer. And then with their noses, oh, the deer has disappeared. Oh, now this smell is taking prominence. Like those little Krishna movies, you know, there's little cartoons. I don't know if you've ever seen little Krishnas. There's some nice fragrance. It's Talavan. The Talavan forest, there are beautiful tal fruits. It grows on like a palm tree, but it's a very beautiful fruit. It has a purple skin, the shade of an eggplant. And inside there's the soft white, like a lychee. You know lychee? Lychee fruit is that kind of white pudding-like thing. Very sweet. It's called tal fruits. And one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan is Talavan. So in that scene, the wind is blowing and carrying the fragrance. And Krishna, all the coward boys are going, And you see that because it's animation. So you see little waves of fragrance coming through. Oh, Krishna, you smell that? Oh, it smells so good. Where is that coming from? And the boys say, that's coming from Talavan forest. Oh, Krishna says, yes. But that's protected by Dainukasura. The ass, the jackass demon. There's a lot of those guys around the world. He multiplied all around the world. There's so many Dainukasuras. And then the boys say, Krishna, let's go there. And then some other, no, he eats human beings alive. Because in Garga Samhita, Dainukasura was living near Nandagram. And that's why Nanda Maharaj left there. They left Nandagram and they went to Gokul. Then the demons were attacking there, Putana and Shakadasura. And then they left the Gokul and came to Chatikar. And then they went back to Nandagram from where they left because all these crazy demons. Keshi was eating Brijvasis. It says in Garga Samhita. Keshi's a horse. He was a different kind of horse. He was eating all the Brijvasis. It doesn't say family members, but just some of the extras of the cast. Some of the extras of the cast. It says right there in Garga Samhita in Sanskrit. Anyway, it's a funny point. I mean, Garga Samhita, that's why Garga Samhita is never quoted anywhere as Shastra. It's only used for telling stories. When I asked Dr. Satyanarayan Das Babaji about Garga Samhita, he said, yes, it's a very nice book when you go on Raj Mandal for telling stories. But our Goswamis have never quoted it. I don't think once in all Goswami writings do they quote. They quote so many books, but not that one. So it has a lot of wild stuff. Like one Leela has, and some devotee was very smart. He thought he should put it into English. It was a great disservice. It was a great disservice to so many devotees because so many devotees were confused and they mixed Leela with Tattva and it's a big mess. It's a book that should be just like Dandavats, you know, keep it far away. Pranams. Because no one uses it, no one's guided by guru, so no one knows what to translate and what not to translate and what's actually Siddhanta and what's Apasiddhanta. And oh, it's anything. You can just, innocent devotees pick up anything in English or Russian or whatever. Oh, look at this. Then they start preaching everywhere. Garga Samhita says. So that's why in Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Kori Aikya. You need Guru. Guru is in the heart. Chaitya Guru. And if you're very sincere and transparent, all answers come from inside the heart. And if you have advantage to be at the feet of Guru and learn from him, that's very, 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 very rare. Especially in this age. So all the better. But no loss. In 11th canto in Uddhava Shiksha, Krishna's teaching Uddhav, as he taught Arjuna. He says, Acharya Chaitya Vapusha. Krishna's telling Uddhava, he says, the Acharya, that transcendental knowledge manifests through the mouth of the Acharya or the Chaitya Guru Vapusha. Acharya Chaitya Guru Vapusha. Vani Seva, Vapu Seva, Guru Vani Seva, the order instructions in Agya Guru. Vapu Seva, maybe one Babaji, one Seva, he lives with Guru, cooks and cleans and carries him to the bathroom, everything one does. And everyone says, oh, I want, impossible. So, like Prabhupada had 5,000 disciples, one secretary, one cook, and everywhere around the world, Shruti Kirti for 2 years and this one for 1 year. Well, what about the other 4,900? It's not there. So Vani Seva, most important. So this Chaitya, Acharya Chaitya Guru Vapusha. Vapu means the form. So Krishna, spiritual knowledge is available from the form of the Acharya, Acharya Vani, Guru Vakya, the words of Guru, or from the Chaitya Guru. Krishna himself is telling. Chaitya Guru is Krishna in the heart. Paramatma. So many riddles, so many questions, so many doubts, shamshaya, can be solved by introspection. Devotional introspection. See, hear, feel, realize the Guru within. This is the teachings of the Diksha Guru. Because one will travel on the path of bhakti with his Diksha Guru for some time, if he's young. Then the Guru will leave. And then the Guru was in the heart, came out of the heart. And we saw, and we followed. Then the Guru went to Krishna. Now the Guru has gone back in the heart. And we see, and we follow, and we go to Guru, and we go to Krishna. This is the way. Vapu. A form of Guru. Acharya Chaitya Guru Vapusha. So the gopis are thinking like this. Now they smell this fragrance of the kunkum that's blown their way by chance. And they repeatedly declare with great glee, yes, yes, this is it. Vishnu Chakravarti is very emphatic. And dramatic. Yes, do you smell that kumkum? This is it. By embracing Radha, Krishna's jasmine garland is smeared with the kumkum powder from Radhika's breasts. And the fragrance of all these things, Krishna's chest and Radharani's breast and that kumkum and that flower mala and all that together and what arises when they combine together in a loving prema lingata, when they combine together in a loving embrace of divine love, of Prem Ashraya Radharani and Prem Vishaya Krishna, that final fragrance, that kunkum, that fragrance that is coming in our nose, all these things are reaching us. This is what the gopis were saying. Vishnath is telling, they were saying, oh yes, yes, this is it. We're almost there. Because you can't smell something from 10 miles away or 10 kilometers away. The small range of, you can see 10 kilometers across the ocean or whatever, but you can't smell 10 kilometers. the range of your olfactory sense is quite limited. I mean, when you get a flower, you don't say, oh, that's a nice flower. Yeah, it's nice. You go, ooh, nice. Oh, that's a nice flower. But your eyes, you can see the flower from so far. Oh, look at the roses. Look at this. So they're really excited. Oh, Krishna's very nearby. We're onto something here, gopis. That deer was coming. Now it disappeared. Oh, another indication. They're really gone mad. totally mad, unmad. Gopis are, oh. Can you relate to it? Because as we get closer and closer to Krishna, we will become more and more mad. Has to be. If not happening, Krishna is boat doorhe. Boat far. Yeah. One of my teachers over the years, he had a way of greeting his students. So, Kim Kridasi, how is your bhajan? Oh, Gurudev, by your kripa, everything's very nice. You know, my preaching is nice, and many people liking my preaching, and they're getting benefit, and my health is good, everything's nice. And then the teacher, the guru, is like looking very sad. Oh, really? Everything's very nice? You're feeling very peaceful and very happy, and you're saying, oh, this is guru kripa, Krishna kripa. All this is not good. And the guru is looking very negative and unhappy at the teacher. And the students, what did I say wrong? I thought I was giving all the right answers. I rehearsed it in the mirror. I rehearsed in the mirror before I went to see the guru. Guru, it's everything's fine. Fake show. Knuckly show. So, guru says, oh, really, Kinkaridasi? This is how you feel? Oh, then something's not right. So either my teaching is not correct, you're not really doing bhajan. Because if my teaching is correct and you're really doing bhajan and my teaching is touching your heart, when you come and tell me your report, you should say, Gurudev, I'm suffering. I'm miserable. I realize I don't have any devotion. I have so much pride in me. I have so much pride and so much ego. And I don't know how or when I'll ever transcend this I-ness and my-ness. I'm trying my best, but I just feel so lowly and so empty. And I just always crying out, please bless me, help me. Oh, Gurudev, is there any help for me? Then the Gurudev is smiling. Ah, this is very good. It's working. The process of bhakti is working. You're actually surrendering. You're actually praying. You're actually crying. You're actually practicing bhakti. But when you move in the samaj of Vaishnavas, oh, Krishna's, how are you? Oh, Bodh Bhadya, everything's nice, you know, Gubanand. Yeah, the japa, everything. Oh, it's a great process. I just really love this bhakti, you know, it's so great. I feel so peaceful, so happy. I'm so happy I took up this Krishna bhakti. Acha? Then Krishna says, Chaitanya Das, how are you? Oh, yeah, me too, everything. Krishna's so kind, so merciful. So what we think is real is unreal. Nasato vidyate bhavo. It's in the Bhagavad Gita. What nasato vidyate bhavo. What you think as bhava, real existence, is unreal. That which is real is eternal. That which is real is eternal, and that which is false is temporary. So the reality is crying for Krishna. The reality is feeling lower than the lowest. The reality is Gopinath, Mama Nivadana Shuno. You know, you look at the prayer. Why do all the acharyas, their prayers of Sharanagati, and it's called Dainya Bhav, Dainya Bodhikya. One level of Prarthana, one type of prayer. There's Siddhi Lalasa, hankering for devotional perfection, and Siddhadeya, and Nitya Seva. Then there's Sharanagati. Then there's Dainya Bodhika. There's all different categories and levels of prayers depending on the adhikar, the development, and the emotional position and condition of the sadhaka practicing bhakti bhajan. And the great acharyas are liberated souls, but they gave us Dainya Bodhika. These are prayers of humility. And they gave us Sharanagati, prayers of surrender. Gopinath, this is called Sharanagati. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, many, many by Narottam, and many Govinda Das Thakur, many there. So because we have to surrender and we have to feel humble, that's we pray. Oh, what is the translation of this Gopinath, the famous prayer by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Oh, Gopinath, I am a wicked materialist. There's no good qualities in me. I'm addicted to material enjoyment. It's very nice, very cut in. You know, cut in. very pinching, ego pinching. Oh, I thought it was so cool. I thought it was so great. Oh, ouch. You ever sing these prayers? Sharanagati, Danya Bodhika, then you come from that. And when you see Chaitanya Charitamrita, Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya is praising him. And he said, no, Nichi Jati, Nichi. I am a low born, I am this and that. Very nice verse. Nichi Jati, my birth, my jati, my family is so low. But not when we introduce each other. Oh, who are you? Oh, I'm so-and-so, I went to college. My father's a psychologist. My father's a millionaire. My father, very big, very big. Oh. So the gopis are the Trinada piece, Uniche Naturiva. The deer is better than us. The tree is better than us. Bhumi is better. The earth is better than us because it has the footprints of Krishna. We don't. The deer is better than us because she's carrying the bliss of Krishna in her eyes. The wind. So this is what they're saying here. This must be it. Thus the gopis smell the aroma of Radha Krishna's divine forms, Krishna's jasmine garland and Radha's kumkum powder. Then they continue. Giving up his position, Krishna gave up his position as a Prabhu, means master, of thousands of gopis, Kulapati, and Krishna is now enjoying with only one gopi. Just see Krishna's injustice. So this is an example of Sukumuni through this Tika that the rival party is actually glorifying Krishna on the pretext of, Radharani's rival party is glorifying Radharani on the pretext of criticizing her. Because they say, oh, Krishna gave up all of us to take Radharani. Just see this injustice. So the injustice part is when they're criticizing. This is not fair. He should have taken us. Or why did he take Chandravali? He's thinking, why you took Radharani? She's number one. I'm number two. He should have taken number two this time and leave number one. Why is this injustice? But basically, they want to these anti-party rivals. They want to criticize Radharani, but even Vishnu is making them glorify. Just see this Kulapati. Kulapati is left a kula. Kula means a group of math, like Gurukul, so many students. So he's left all of us for that one. That's not fair. It's really not fair. So this is the end of Vishnu's Tika on this verse. And there's a small comment here by Srila Prabhupada. Text 11. It appears that Radha and Krishna have passed by here. Well, Prabhupada paraphrases it in his Tika. The gopis are saying, it appears that Radha and Krishna have passed by here and have touched your bodies, and thus you feel so pleasant and are looking at us with sympathy. How they're speaking to the deer. Will you kindly therefore inform us which way Krishna has gone? Krishna is the well-wisher of Vrindavan, and he is as kind to you, dear, as he is to us. Therefore, after leaving us, Krishna must be present with you. So this is their commentaries of Vishnu. And we had a small point. We can speak a little bit. Then in this line one, you'll see what I was mentioning about this concept of the Bhagavatam and the Shloka, especially in 10th canto, Dasma Skanda, the Yugal concept, Radha Krishna Yugal. And in the Sanskrit verses, you can find often Radha and Krishna are moving in the same verse in a hidden way. So here in this verse 11, text 11, we have words like Priya and Sakhi and Achyuta and very nice, Kanta, you'll see. So the word Priya in the first line, Apyena Patya Upakata Priya Yeha Gatres. Priya means Krishna's beloved. Sri Jiva Goswami Pad says Priya refers to Krishna's dearest consort, Radharani. The gopi speaking verse 11 is a Sakhi, is a friend of Radharani speaking this verse. This verse is being spoken by a friend, not an anti-party. So I was just saying in this Priya, This word Priya is there in the first line, and I just mentioned this. Shiva Goswami says it means Radharani because she's Priyaji, Priya Priyatam. So her favorable Sakhi is speaking this verse. So it reveals, we see this verse 11 reveals Lila Yugal together. Line 1, the Priya means Radharani. Then line 2, it says Achyuta. So you read line 1, it's Priya. Then it's about Drisham Sakhi Sunivartam Achyuta. So Achyuta means Krishna. So Priyaji and Achyuta. So this is called Yugal. Although the verse is about deer, the verse is about Kunkum, but we can see in the Sanskrit, because the Ishtadeva or worshipable Ishta Devatas of Shukamuni are Radharani and Krishna. So, and what are they doing? So Priya's there in the first line, Achyuta's there in the second line. What are they doing? So it says, Drisham Sakhi Sunivritim. So the verse, externally, the verse says that the gopis are seeing the eyes of the deer are very joyful. But if you see it from this yugal point, that actually Achyuta is joying, he's enjoying seeing his lover. It says, Drisham Sakhi Sunivritim, Priya and Achyuta. When Achyuta sees Priyaji Radharani, when he sees the face of his Sakhi, then he feels so Sunivritim. And then what are they doing? When Achyuta meets Priyaji, what are they doing? That's in the third line. It says Achyuta, Achyuta Kanta Anga Sangha. Very interesting. I don't know if you can perceive this. But in the third line, it says, second line ends with Achyuta, that's Krishna. And the third line describes Kanta Anga Sangha. Kanta is female, means the lover or beloved. And Kant means the beloved. So we have Radha Kant, right? You've heard of Radha Kant? Kant means the lover of Radha. This is a name for Krishna. Gopi Kant. Tapta Kanchana Gaur, we say, Hey Krishna Kruna Sindhu, Dina Bandha Jagatvate, Gopesha Gopika Kant. We say Kanta, but it's not really long A. Gopi, but because we say it like music, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta. It's actually not Kanta, it's Kant. So it means Krishna is a glorification, pranam prayer to Krishna. He is a lover of the gopis, and the most of all the gopis, he most dearly loves Radha. So he's Gopika Kant and Radha Kant. Like we say Sham Sundar, or we say Sham, but we say Shama. Shama is female, which means Radharani. So we say Shama Sham Ki Jai. You've heard of Rama? All through the Bhagavatam, it's describing Rama. Rama means the goddess of fortune. There's an Ekadasi, I think, a few days called Rama Ekadasi. Tomorrow's Ekadasi Brat, fasting, Upavas. And that's called Rama. That means Lakshmi. There's Rama. Rama means Sita. If you want to be Rama Ram. Rama Ram. Sita Ram. So Rama. So when we say Kanta Sangha Anga Sangha, it says, so you put these together. Line 2 ends like this, and then next line is Kanta. Achyuta Kanta Ananga Sangha. So someone who is a Radha Krishna Yugal Upasaka. Upasaka means worship, method of worship, meditation, upasana. And Yugal means pair. So all Gaudiya Vaishnavas are Radha Krishna Yugal Upasana. We're worshiping Radha Govinda together. So we have this type of idea, and type of vichar, and type of vision. So this verse is about deer and about kunkum. But when Achyuta sees Priya, then his eyes fill with bliss. Drisham su nivritim. And now he's blissful. Now he sees her and he feels blissful and he approaches her. Then what happens when Achyuta comes together with his kanta? When Achyuta comes together with his kanta, there's something called Anga Sangha. And Anga Sangha, Anga means body, and Sangha means association. So in the one meaning of Anga Sangha means that when Achyuta sees his Priyaji, he becomes very happy, then they meet together and enjoy amorous delight. which means union. So this is called the yuga concept in the verse. Ostensibly or externally, it's deer and kunkum and gopis. But that's, as I said the other day, one saint told me 30 years ago or 29 years ago, someday you will see Radha and Krishna in every verse of the Bhagavatam. So I'm trying to shed a little light that way. So in this one verse, there's three times we find the yuga conception of Radha and Krishna. We have Priya and Achyuta, we have Kanta and Achyuta. The last line says, Kunda Shraja Kulapater Iha. So Kula is translated as family, and in our acharyas say Kula means among all the gopis. So the leader of all the gopis, Kulapati. Pati means Krishna, and Kula means the gopis, Gopi Kul. So Krishna is the, in this line it says Kula, Kulapati, which means Kula means Gokul, Kula means Gokul, Gokul Ramanis. And Krishna is the Pati. Pati means Krishna's the master and enjoyer of the Kula. All the groups of Sakis, all the Brajavadus, Krishna's the enjoyer. So in one verse, we have yuga conception three times. Priya and Achyuta, Achyuta and Kanta, and the Kula, the Gokul Ramanis, and Achyuta. This is a beautiful point in this verse, which I wanted to share. And we'll finish a little bit more tomorrow. And let's start verse 12. So now we have Harinam Sankirtan. Shrimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai.